The following is a paid program. The views and opinions of this program are solely those of the host and do not necessarily reflect those of the KFBK staff or management or its parent company, Clear Channel Communications.
This is News Talk 1530 KFBK, and it is time again for another episode, ladies and gentlemen, of the Travel Guys.
They're charging for carry-on bags, and now comes word your seat on the airplane may not recline.
If you're tired of lugging around heavy luggage, well, the new technology in luggage is coming up with John Holloway.
Extreme mammals are on exhibit in San Francisco, and we'll tell you all about it.
And are Americans about to travel to a brand new destination? And could that destination be Cuba?
All that and an update on how you can win a trip to Hawaii today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Going to be 80 degrees today. You know, a great day to travel to local destinations. And no matter what you're up to, and I would imagine there are a lot of people, Mark, that actually listen to the Travel Guys while traveling in their cars.
I would think so. On the weekends, on the radio, out on the freeway, driving around. People are coming through Sacramento. If you're passing through town right now, welcome to Sacramento. See you soon.
And Mark, it's been a pretty busy week for me, and I know for you as well. You've been on the road a little bit. Where did the road take you this past 7 days?
It took 17 hours to get home last night, or yesterday. Key West, Miami, Chicago, Denver, Sacramento.
Oh my gosh!
A three-hour drive up the Intercoastal Waterway. Left Key West at 6:20 yesterday morning. That would be 3:20 local time. And, boy, that is a great town. Key West, where drag queens meet speedboaters. You know, it's just it's the most amazing, eclectic place. And that intercoastal waterway that separates Key West from the rest of Florida, it's just a two-lane road, basically, that has been built over the various keys and stuff like that. Some of it's over water. Some of it's over land. And you got to dodge the key deer that are down there and all those kinds of things. But the reward is well worth it. Key West is absolutely – if you've got a bucket list and you've never been to Key West, it should be on it.
Now, from what you were saying, I know a lot of people will travel to Orlando or they'll go to Florida for vacations. And, you know, a lot of times I think they get on the plane, they get to the destination. You know, they may or may not even rent a car. I mean, sounds to me like road travel and being able to see – parts of Key West and so forth is going to require some road journeys.
Oh, yeah. And one way, like, for example, when our company, Sports Leisure Vacations, takes our annual tour to Key West, which has become incredibly popular, we drive down on the Intercoastal Waterway one direction in a motor coach with our group of 25 people, and then we fly out. So folks get the advantage of being able to see it but not having to deal with it twice. The traffic is really pretty atrocious, as you might imagine, on a two-lane road that passes through different towns and over bridges and things of that sort. So it's very interesting. Southern Florida, especially around Miami, has really become a whole other country. And I don't say that in a bad way at all, but there's such an incredible Latin influence there. And then Key West is kind of this strange little bastion of I don't know what. The Conch Republic, as they call it, but it really is one of my favorite places. It's and if you like key lime pie, why it's the place to go.
Really, by the way, you're listening to the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and this is the part, Mark, where you ask me what I've been up to.
What have you been up to this week, Tom?
I tell you, it's been a busy week. And it's going to get busier. My daughter got engaged, ladies and gentlemen. A round of applause there. And of course, she has decided that a winery in Northern California is going to be where she wants to have her wedding. So I've been making phone calls and going to get out and visit. Going to be forced to go and visit wineries.
We may have to set up a fund here at the station to help pay for this, I'm afraid.
There you go. And if anybody has any great suggestions of cool places for me to have my daughter's wedding, I'm open for suggestions. I'll tell you what, you can just email me at tomromano@clearchannel.com. Sportsnet.com, okay? And because we've got a little bit of planning time. You know, this is the kind of thing you would think that you could just, you know, you got a year and a half maybe before the wedding to make plans. And oh, no. You've got to decide now because these things, they go in a hurry.
There's a beautiful castle down in Calistoga now where you can – boy, wait till she finds out about that place.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, can you say arm and a leg?
Well, I've got a little jar. I'm putting my change in there.
Yeah, you better start putting your dollar bills in there too.
We're saving up. Well, it's time for our weekly or every other weekly during the Travel Guys, the travel news, and I know there is lots of it. So with the travel news, ladies and gentlemen – Mark Hoffman of Sports Leisure Vacation.
Republic Airlines, the parent company of both Frontier and Midwest, said last week it would go with Frontier as its lone brand for scheduled service. So Midwest Airlines as a name will disappear. Frontier, of course, is well known for the animals portrayed on the airline's tail. That will be the surviving name. Good airline, nice people, and the folks in Denver were really thrilled. They really love that airline, and Denver is their hometown city. After several years of cutting staff, hotels have begun to build up their workforces to keep up with the modest growth of heads in beds. Projections are for U.S. hotel occupancy to rise 0.3% in 2010. That may not sound like much, but occupancy levels dropped almost 9% last year. Tom, the average hotel occupancy this year, even with the increase, you got a 100-room hotel. On the average, you're going to rent 55 rooms each night.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happens to the other
45? What happens to the other 45? That's where the guy on Priceline is trying to convince
them to. I was going to say, you know, that's where your bargains are going to come.
But you've got to be careful because once you get people to the point where they know that they're only going to pay $50 for the $100 hotel room, they're never going to pay $100 for it again. So it's really a tough time for people in the hotel business. But I have no sympathy for them. I take the best rate I can get. Hawaiian Airlines has received acclaim as the best-rated U.S. airline for service in 2009. Hawaiian has been number one for 3 out of the last 4 years in the ratings, which are based on a combination of airlines records in 4 categories: on-time performance, mishandled baggage, denied boardings due to overbookings, and consumer complaints to the Department of Transportation.
Now, Hawaiian Airlines was the one that was flying out of Sacramento.
Yeah, they do every morning.
And they still do. Do you think that with their popularity and so forth, and with the big build, that they're going to be adding extra flights?
Well, they had 2 flights out of Sacramento before the economy went bad. They were running 2 flights to Honolulu 5 days a week and 1 flight on the other 2 days. So you also have Alaska Airlines now that is serving Maui from Sacramento. So that's good because it keeps having 2 airlines serving Hawaii after so many years we had none keeps a lid on the prices. So you know, if you're thinking about going to Hawaii, you've got to look at both of those, Hawaiian and Alaska, ironically, as the 2 possibilities. And, of course, there are other carriers who can take you to San Francisco or Los Angeles and get you over there. But if you want to go from Sacramento, the folks at Hawaiian Air are terrific people, and they really do a nice job. They make it when you're on a Hawaiian Airlines plane going to – God, I sound like I'm doing a commercial for them.
That's okay.
You feel like you're going to Hawaii.
You get the lays.
Well,
and the people
the music
are all dressed.
They're
dressed in the Hawaiian outfits.
The spirit of aloha can be found on their airplane. So I'm not surprised, I guess, that their service is number one. They fly to 10 U.S. mainland cities along with Hawaiian Islands, the Philippines, Australia, Samoa, and Tahiti. Of course, they have some advantages over other airlines because many of its flights are short hops between islands in a climate generally favorable for flying. The research is sponsored by Purdue University and Wichita State University. This week, Southwest Airlines, which flies more passengers worldwide than any other carrier, began using satellite-assisted runway approaches. Tom, I was talking to a pilot about this in the Portland airport, and they are really excited about it. Instead of coming, you know, planes come down, you can feel coming down 30,000 feet,
right.
28,000 feet, 26. We're starting our descent. Well, now you'll be able to come like down the side, like you're skiing down the side of a mountain. So it's going to save massive amounts of fuel. The pilots are actually quite excited about it when you hear that.
So basically once the descent begins, it's going to be, like you say, like coming down a mountain it's going to come from, let's say, 40,000, just a continuous all the way down to land. Huh?
Perhaps the best way to describe it is instead of walking down the stairs, you'll be sliding down the banister.
Wow, very cool.
San Francisco is detouring into reality tourism. Listen to this, Tom. The civic boosters are hoping to turn the grit of the uptown Tenderloin district into an attraction, pointing out its ties to music. And the Hotel Drake, where Frank Capra lived as a starving young director in the early 1920s, or the Cadillac Hotel, which was built a year after the 1906 earthquake and fire, and Muhammad Ali trained there. Jerry Garcia lived at the Cadillac, and the Grateful Dead recorded several albums in the area. Can you imagine that? Tours of the Tenderloin.
Wow.
Scary. Lawmakers
in our own backyard.
Lawmakers have said enough to Spirit Airlines. Two senators have introduced a bill that would stop airlines from charging fees for carry-on luggage. What a ridiculous idea. Volcanic ash, you've probably heard enough about this story, but let me just close it with this. Two thoughts. 93,000 flights were canceled through last Wednesday. At an average of 100 passengers per flight, which is probably very conservative, that's 930,000 people. I mean, that's a lot of folks. And as I was telling you before we went on the air, there are two volcanoes there. And the smaller one is the one that erupted. For 2,000 years, the bigger one has erupted every time the smaller one has erupted. So if you've got plans to go overseas this summer, you would be a fool if you didn't have a plan B. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Speaking of plan B, you know, there are a lot of people that were basically caught adrift, if you will. What would suggestions, and there was a lot of talk about flight insurance or vacation insurance and so forth, and when this kind of thing happens, that's when people start realizing that that would have been a good thing. What would you recommend as a travel expert to travelers in regards to dealing with this kind of thing?
You got to have a few bucks in your pocket. No matter what country that you're in, you've got to have some local currency. If the power goes out and ATMs are not accessible for a day or whatever happens, you've got to be able to have a few bucks in your pocket. And you've got to have some basic knowledge of the city that you're departing from or the area that you're departing from in case you had to get a hotel, in case you had to get a taxi cab, in case you had to have some place to stay for a couple of days or something like that. It's folly even to travel domestically, anywhere, any distance from home, particularly if you're involving airlines, and not have a plan B. I mean, because as we can see, I mean, look at last night in Mississippi. Tornadoes ripped through the whole state. I mean, it's a funny planet that we live on, and life is kind of random. And yeah, I would strongly suggest to folks, this volcano thing caught a lot of people. Clayton came back on the plane with some people from Madrid who had spent 4 days moving south, because every time they moved south, they ran into an airport that was closed. They had to go further south. And finally, when they got to Spain, they ran into one that was open. So it's I flew back yesterday with a lady from Denver to Sacramento, sat right next to me, who literally had spent 9 days getting back from Europe and just finally had gotten home.
So the answer is always have a plan B, no matter where you travel, domestically or internationally.
You know what? All the travel agents out there are really going to love me for this. And I'm not. And let me just clarify: I own a tour company. I'm not a travel agent, so I'm not stumping for myself. But I will tell you: earthquake in Chile, volcano in Europe, all these things that happen. If you bought your tickets from a travel agent and you had somebody that you could pick up the phone and they could advocate for you on your behalf, then that's the best. If you're buying any sort of major travel package and you're buying it online or something like that to save a few dollars, you are doing yourself a terrible disservice, because if anything happens, you have a computer to talk to. Think about that.
There's your travel news for today. Coming up on the Travel Guys Show next, Mark, we got a special phone interview. Who do we have?
We do. We are going to talk to a very lovely Carol from the Academy of Sciences in San Francisco. Is going to tell us all about marine mammals.
There we go. We're going to be traveling just to
extreme mammals, excuse me.
We're just going to be traveling less than 100 miles away on the phone.
It's a staycation.
There you go. On the Travel Guys, the News Talk 1530 KFBK.
News happens all the time.
Breaking news as we start the program.
What you need to know, and it matters most to you. News Talk 1530 KFBK.
We're on the road again. It's the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. And, of course, our travel expert, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation, just across from me here. Hi, Mark.
Yes, looking over the tops of the computer screens. I wonder what radio was like before. When I was on radio before doing sports talk, we didn't have these computer screens in front of us. You know, we that was back in the old days when, we did the simulcast. Ronald Reagan used to do those.
We have so many cool tools. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Let's our first guest this afternoon is joining us on the phone right now. She is Carol Tang. Carol is the Director of Public Programs at the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco, perhaps the most talked about building in North America. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Travel Guys. You guys have well, first of all, not only do you have an incredible facility down there, but you now have a wonderful exhibit at the incredible facility, if that doesn't sound too Over the top?
Well, it is our first temporary exhibition in our new home, and it is extreme mammals. And it's about a topic that we think we know a lot about because we're mammals, we have cats and dogs, and yet there's all these extinct, crazy mammals, things that are huge, things that are tiny. We even have still living crazy mammals, like egg-laying mammals like the platypus and echidna. So this exhibition is great because it brings in a little bit of everything about a topic that we thought we used to know a lot about.
Sports Leisure Vacations has been running buses down practically monthly to the Academy, and we're doing another one in June specifically to come down and see this exhibit. Carol, give us – if somebody was a first-time visitor to the Academy since it has reopened and there just is so much to see there, how would you possibly plan for a first-time visit?
Well, I think that one of the great things is that there's a lot to do for a whole day, and we've been finding that from our visitors is that they stay much longer at our museum than they do at most other museums in the country. So I would recommend to get there and pick up our free passes to the planetarium and to extreme mammals first, because that will help you plan the rest of your day. And before your tickets times comes up, you can explore the aquarium downstairs, also our two main exhibits, one on climate change in California and one about islands. And then, of course, Africa Hall with the penguins is always really popular as well.
Carol, Tom here. Is it a good idea to go ahead and buy your tickets ahead of time online? Do you guys sell out? And I know that it can be a concern.
Yes, definitely. We, of course, are very popular, especially on the weekends and the holidays. But if you purchase online in advance, you don't have to stand in the ticket line at all. There is a separate entrance for people who have printed at home. Even if you forget your printout, we have kiosks that are much faster, of course, than the ticket window. Also, our members have a special line, and we even have special members hours. And so if you thought you were going to come to the Academy at least a couple times, it's definitely more economical, as well as save you some time and give you some special opportunities.
Now, this extreme mammal exhibit that we're talking about here, forgive me if this sounds like a dumb question. Are there actually some live animals there?
That's right. We actually have a live mammal as well. We have a tree shrew that's in there. Cool. And it really provides kind of a nice balance between the fossils and the reconstructions, as well as skeletons and taxidermied specimens, but also have a live one in there as well.
What's your smallest of the mammals?
There's an extinct mammal called the Batenoides, which fits on the end of a pencil eraser. And we have that actually right next to the Academy specimen of the blue whale. And so it kind of gives you this really shocking view of how our
wow.
ancestors, our relatives, the mammals, actually are really diverse.
The Batenoides, I think that was a band in the 60s out of San Francisco. I used to play at the Fillmore Auditorium.
I'm sure
the
they came out of the hate.
Yes.
Don't mind Tom. He lived through the 60s, and it's definitely affected his brain cells. So the Academy of Sciences, for folks who might be new to Northern California, underwent a massive renovation. You guys now have a much talked about roof. You get the Steinhardt Aquarium, a natural history museum. I mean, literally, this is an all day affair. But if someone was coming down from Sacramento, you mentioned weekends are a busier time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had the luxury of coming on a weekday, is there a better time of the day to come? Do you want to be there when the museum opens in the morning? Do you want to come in the middle of the day and stay late? What's the best plan?
I think if you come in the mornings and pick up your passes, you could definitely spend the whole day. You could have lunch, and we have a couple different options for lunch. And there's some places in the Academy where there's quiet contemplative spaces as well. There's, for example, the Naturalist Center, where you have computers and books and specimens. If there's something that you want to study up on, you have this kind of quiet area to spend some time. So actually, I think people could definitely spend the whole day. If you come in the mornings, you're guaranteed more likely, actually, to get your passes, the planetarium and extreme mammals. They are free, and so we do run out at the end of the day, although the planetarium does also allow for a standby when there's open seats as well. I would definitely recommend people to come early and then just relax and spend the rest of the day exploring the Academy.
Now, you're in Golden Gate Park, so parking is a little bit limited, and I've noticed here that you give a discount to folks who take public transportation to the Academy.
That's right. If you can show your Muni or BART or commuting your public transportation, we do give you a discount at the ticket windows. We do have parking lot that we share with the DeYoung, and so it does get crowded. There is also street parking. On Sundays, of course, we also have the luxury of the Golden Gate Park closing off some of the roads, and so people bike and they inline skate, and so there's a lot to do, but it is challenging sometimes for our visitors from Sacramento. So coming early, I think, will allow you the most options.
I visited with the family last year, and we did not buy tickets ahead. Of course, you do have the automated ticket selling machines out front. But one of the problems that we ran into, and I recommend those that are going to go, we wanted to go into the planetarium, but by the time we got our tickets and so forth, the times available to go into the planetarium and see that exhibit was we're all full up, so we didn't get to do that. However, there was just a ton of stuff, and I can hardly wait to go back and see the extreme mammals. Now, is there a dateline on how long that's going to be? That exhibit's going to be there.
That's going to go through the entire summer and not close until after Labor Day in September.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for joining us today. And for folks who are interested in heading down to the Academy of Sciences, you can go to our website, sportsleisure.com, and we'll have all the information where you can get connected, all of the hours, pricing, all of that kind of stuff. Carol, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Before you go, Carol, I do have a question for you. For those of that, of course, I think the best answer is to get a hold of Mark at Sports Leisure Vacation and take one of his trips there. But if you're coming from Sacramento, would you recommend that people take and go across the Golden Gate Bridge to enter Golden Gate Park and to reach you that way? Or would they? Is there a better route by coming, let's say, through the Bay Bridge?
Well, of course, the green answer is to take the train and the BART and the bus.
There you go.
I would say that definitely to check the traffic, because I think the Bay Bridge does get quite crowded with the construction on parts of the San Rafael Bridge and so on. There's can be crowding now across that bridge as well. But the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, is surprisingly easy to get to Golden Gate Park, and of course, the views are just incomparable.
Carol, again, for Mark and I both, we want to thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at the museum, okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. It's News Talk 1530 KFBK. It's the Travel Guys Show. By the way, visit sportsleisure.com. There you'll find information about the subjects we talk about on the radio program, and also interesting information and pictures of some of the things that we're going to be talking about, well, like with John Holloway coming up, right?
John is going to join us right after the news break and talk. John's our travel gadget guy today. We're talking about lightweight luggage. So John Holloway and Travel to Cuba coming up on the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome back. That Jim Naylor, he is just what an amazing talent. News, weather, and traffic all in one. Just watching him scurry around the room and gather all that information up in a matter of 2 minutes.
You're listening to the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And who's back, Mark?
It is our travel gadget guy, John Holloway from Travel Outfitters, from Holloway Travel Outfitters.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, John had a large cart that he had to use to bring everything in with him today.
Well, at least it's not part of the airplane like he did the last time that he was here. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about luggage, which has always been an important subject for travelers, but is probably way more important now that airlines are charging by the piece.
Right.
And also are being a lot more particular about the weight.
Absolutely.
So, and some empty suitcases, as people have discovered, can weigh as much as 16 or 17 pounds. I mean, even a medium-sized empty suitcase.
That's right. And, you know, well, that's sort of the yesterday. We brought in one old one just to compare and contrast.
That's kind of cool. That looks like an old, kind of like an old Pullman bag almost. You know what they would, like an old, this looks like it's something right out of the movie.
Right.
It's made out of plywood, I do believe, with large metal parts, brown. It looks like something that you would see in a 1947 Hitchcock movie.
It does. It looks like something that would come right out of Psycho.
We threw some stickers on it to give it its vintage look. But the weight of that thing would, you know, you'd be over 50 pounds without putting much more than a couple pairs of shoes and a hardcover book in there. Yeah. So what they've done today is they've taken out all that full frame and just framed the outside of the bag and left it soft side on front and back to lighten them up. And that's why we brought a lot of these here today to show people.
Well,
show
these you. All look like bags that are, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, these are all bags that can be carried on board the airplane.
Yeah, I brought all my carry-ons.
At least in the United, for domestic travel.
That's right. And there's such a push to do that to avoid the check-in fees.
So. Well, absolutely. Of course, you know, there's always the challenge, too, because you can't take more than 3 ounces of something on the airplane. I don't know about a lot of travelers, but I have two ways to pack. If I'm going through security and not checking a bag, or if I'm going through security and checking a bag.
Right.
So I literally have two completely different shaving kits that I travel with, depending
sure.
on the circumstance. So tell us about some of these bags that you've got here, John.
Okay. And
this one's kind of psychedelic. It's got...
It is. You can't miss this. It's an artist developed this hard side suitcase with named Brito is his name. Apparently, he's a Brazilian gentleman at has been in the Louvre and so on. But this will help you spot your bag, undoubtedly.
That's a Brazilian gentleman that's been in the Louvre. Somewhere there's a comment in there, and I don't know how much. It almost sounds nasty.
Yeah. Well, it's almost too pretty to check. We have covers for those folks that don't want to scratch up their piece of artwork.
You're basically kind of a psychedelic with the flowers and the polka dots.
Wait a minute. You have covers for the suitcase?
Yes.
Tom, you've got, you know, two daughters. I mean, is this something that they would travel with?
You know, absolutely. Actually, my youngest daughter, she would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that stands out and is totally different.
Well, you get a pretty bag and then you cover it. It's sort of ironic. But the clear covers will protect that piece. So I brought in the hard side to show you. They're using
right.
fancy plastics, ABS, and polycarbonates that keep these things super light. So these 22-inch carry-ons weigh just over 6 pounds.
Yeah, this is – here, Tom, look at this.
Let me see.
I mean, literally, I can hand this over to you with just one hand.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's very light.
Light. If that's a terrific,
yeah.
terrific.
And it's got four wheels. And I wanted to, you know, there are a lot of configurations we brought today, and it's kind of tough. We're trying to be, you know,
how do you feel about this wheel thing of the, what is it, ergonomic? Or how do they, what do they say, call that?
Yeah.
Where the wheels will go any direction?
Right. Directional. And so four wheels can go anywhere. So in a tight elevator, it's nice. And, you know, in the busy lines at the airport, you can maneuver them easy.
I see it has a lock on it, John. I mean,
yeah.
that's the, how to, how do you deal with that? Because yeah. there's like no locking luggage anymore.
Right.
Of course, this is a carry-on. I mean, carry-ons, can they be locked?
Yeah, you can lock. And you can lock the checked bags, too. I'm glad you brought that up, Tom. That has a TSA-approved logo icon on that lock. So that tells the TSA officials that, they have the keys for these.
Oh, I see.
If that's
okay.
any comfort to us, their security officials can get in our bag.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you this afternoon on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. John Holloway is with us, and we're talking luggage today, which is tremendously important. We're talking basically about carry-on bags. John, you have an example of a bag that I bought from you a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Actually, I bought two of these, one this size and one larger. And this is, quote, lifetime luggage,
yeah. it,
which is a little bit of a stretch. I mean, the reality is, as we were talking before
right.
we went on the air, last year I flew just a little under 200,000 miles.
Right.
And this bag went with me. Well, not this bag, but a bag just like it went with me on most of those trips.
Right.
And so it's now – I'm 2 years into it, and it's stained. It's the worst for wear, but it's intact.
Yeah. Well, we plan on getting – you know, the warranties are kind of a funny thing. It's lifetime of the bag, so sometimes it's implied maybe it's our lifetime. But so for you, Mark, the lifetime of that bag is a little shorter than somebody
yeah,
who travels
somebody,
once
yeah,
a year.
Exactly,
cause
some,
yeah,
exactly. For some people, literally,
yeah.
if you took two trips a year,
right.
this bag would last you a lifetime.
Yeah.
Do they, maybe they kind of judge it like you do an automobile. It's either, you know, 10 years or, 60,000 miles.
It's sort of like
when
that.
When Mark flies 100,000 miles in a year, he exhausts his...
Well, this is Briggs and Riley, you know, which is kind of like Romano
right.
and Hoffman. I mean, anytime
right, yeah.
you get two names together, why, I think you're in good shape.
Well, and really what what I wanted to show with this is they'll cover any damage. So most warranties on many luggage will not cover airline damage. There's a small caveat on the bottom of these tags. So
the airlines won't cover their own damage, and the bag, the people that made the bag won't cover the damage.
Well, except for Briggs and Riley. They're going to cover anything that happens to that bag, including airline damage. And who else does it typically? But
well,
airlines.
And you pay a little more. You kind of have to decide with luggage. You got two options. One is that you get some. I don't think pretty is out of the question. I mean, if you're looking for boutique and luggage, that's a stretch because it's not going to hold
well,
up.
Well, luggage used to be, you know, very the look of your luggage and all of that was, you know, being fashionable
right.
and so forth was pretty important, but not anymore.
Now it's get you there. And it's get your stuff. Your luggage is, listen, folks who travel, your luggage is to protect your stuff. And we should someday we should talk about things that you can do to protect your stuff inside your luggage, because that would be a whole nother segment.
Right.
Okay. So, John, if folks are interested in luggage, and obviously you've got a wide array of luggage at your store, also available at your website online.
Yes.
So besides going to sportsleisure.com and seeing the things that we're talking about here today, they could go to packinglight.com, L-I-T-E.
L-I-G-H-T.
L-I-G-H-T. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Packinglight.com and see some of these things, or they can visit you in your store in Fulton Avenue.
Yeah, we would appreciate that very much. And we have a variety of luggage to sell.
John Holloway with us from Holloway's Travel Outfitters with us here on The Travel Guys. Tom and I will be right back after this break.
That was the tour guy. Clayton Whitehead, who I spoke with a couple of weeks ago from Madrid, Spain. When we speak with Clayton next time, Mark, where is he going to be?
When we speak with Clayton next time, where is he going to be? Let's see. He will be on a train going across Canada.
Cool.
The next time we talk to him.
Speaking of traveling to places here and there, in just a minute or so, we're going to be talking to a gentleman that's going to share some information in regards to the possibility of Americans traveling to Cuba. So stay with us. I think you're going to find that fascinating.
A couple of news items that we didn't have time for earlier there that I want to mention. One is this is kind of a business news thing. U.S. Airways and United, you know, we're talking about merging. They are now not talking anymore because United was going to merge with Continental all along. And so what they did was played a – you know, it's kind of like a poker game. It's a very high-stakes poker game. So look for – I think you'll see some combination of United and Continental coming up before too long. And also – the price of oil is up over $80, folks, a barrel. It has been for a week and a half. Two airlines tried to add fuel surcharges last week. They didn't stick. But I will suggest to you that if you go to the airport and they say, all right, it's another $20 for your bag, $30 for your bag, and it's a $20 fuel surcharge, and the fuel surcharges are going to be back at any – I mean literally any day. It could happen Monday morning, fuel surcharges.
You're listening to The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And Mark, I know we have a special guest for the program today. Would you please introduce who we're going to be talking to?
Joining us on the phone is Steve Richer. Steve is the public affairs advocate for the National Tour Association in Washington, D.C. That means he parades around and talks to politicians. And he's not officially a lobbyist, but kind of along that lines, he advocates for tourism issues in Washington, D.C. And Steve is joining us today specifically to talk to us about travel to Cuba. This is something that's been in the news over the last, I would say, year or so since President Obama took office. He has relaxed some of the travel restrictions, allowing relatives of people who have relatives in Cuba to be able to go down there on an unlimited basis. They can now take unlimited funds with them when they go. That's something that restrictions were on before. So we're all obviously moving in a positive direction. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mark. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Give us a little bit of background on the Cuba situation. Where have we come from, and where are we hopefully going to here?
Well, first of all, and very simply and directly, this is the only destination in the world that the U.S. government itself restricts citizens and residents of the United States from traveling. You could even go to Libya, North Korea, Iran. There are no restrictions by the U.S. government on people going there. There may be restrictions by those governments, but there's none by our government. So only Cuba are there restrictions. And there's an anecdote that is one of the motivating stories that prompted one of the key sponsors in the Senate, Senator Mike Enzi of Wyoming, to support the legislation. And this particular anecdote is about one of the very few Cuban-American residents of Wyoming who had been to see his family, and under prior restrictions, you couldn't go more than once every 3 years. His mother was sickly. She got very ill, was on her deathbed. He wanted to go back. The federal government denied him the right to go back because he'd been there within 3 years, and she passed away. Then his father got sick. He wanted to go back and see his father before he passed away. He was denied again because he'd been there within 3 years. And then he wanted to go back after both parents had passed away to visit the grave sites and sort of close up the home. And he was denied by the federal government to go because he, quote, "you have no relatives in Cuba." Pretty insensitive set of circumstances. And I think that's why the relative issue has been resolved the way that President Obama acted a few months ago.
So there are two issues here. One is a humanitarian issue of people who, being able to go to Cuba, who want to go there, who have families, who might want to live there, whatever. And the other issue is a tourism issue, which is the one that you and I are somewhat involved in. And recently there was a summit in Cancun, Mexico, that involved some Cuban tourism officials and some tourism people from the United States. Tell us about that.
Well, Mark, I would first say that there are really three issues: the humanitarian issue, the freedom to travel issue, and then thirdly, the business issue, which is, you know, so many opportunities for trade that are good for American businesses, you know, whether they're in the travel industry or agriculture or, you know, some of the other aspects of trade that are allowed. We did have a meeting in March in Cancun because Cuban travel industry leaders and government officials can go to Mexico without any question, and people in the United States could also go. We met there.
So there's obviously plenty of interest on the Cuban side, and it seems as though there's plenty of interest on the tourism side here in the United States. It's a close destination. Cuba's a beautiful place by most descriptions. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, we're working really hard on legislation that provides an opportunity for anyone who is an official U.S. resident or citizen to go to Cuba. And that legislation is now in the House. It's in the Agriculture Committee because the legislation has been combined in order to make it easier to sell agriculture products to Cuba. This is sort of a tangent, but in the past, in order to pay in advance, the Cubans had to deposit money in a bank in a third country, and then the U.S. bank representing the seller had to go get his money out of that bank, which was a 15% to 20% additional cost rather than putting it in a U.S. bank. So there's legislation to change that procedure and to make it possible for people from the U.S. of any kind, not just relatives, to visit Cuba.
And so what's the status of that legislation now?
That bill should be up for vote in the Ag Committee sometime within the week.
So it's very possible that we could see some progress on this literally next week. Our guest today on The Travel Guys has been Steve Richards. Steve is the public affairs advocate for the National Tour Association. He's joined us today to talk about travel to Cuba. So there can't be too many people, Tom, who have had the opportunity to go to Cuba. Steve, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks. Talk to you both another time soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Steve Richards with us from the National Tour Association. You are listening to The Travel Guys. We'll be right back after this break.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on.
This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. If you're finding us for the very first time, I want to thank you. Also remind you that this show is on every other week. John Upland is on opposite Sundays doing his Aging with Dignity program.
And be very careful. We should not plug Terry Knight's real estate program.
Yeah, because he forgot.
He did not plug ours.
Yes, it's show's over anyway.
If you missed the real estate program, really, you didn't miss much,
yeah.
I guess.
I can say, though, that the grape... I'm not even going there.
No.
I'm going to say that the Grape and Golf Show follows us with Ed Crane, the afternoon or the morning news anchor on KFBK. I haven't had a chance to listen, so my first opportunity will be today. I also want to take a moment and plug one more thing, and that is Classic 93.1. I do the afternoons there from 3 to 7 every afternoon weekdays, and I want to say that for those that are interested, tomorrow afternoon I will be giving away a pair of tickets to the Eagles concert, which is on Tuesday night. So if you're an Eagles fan and you'd like to win a pair of tickets, if you like the classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
Would that be Bald Eagles or?
Quit it. You know, Sacramento's own Timothy B. Schmidt is the bass player for the Eagles, and I'll tip this one off, too. I'm in the process of lining up an interview with him.
So. You're like this Naylor guy who is so multi-talented.
I'm everywhere.
You're on every station all the time. I turn you on. I can't get away from you.
I'm
some
like
days
Willie
I'm
Nelson.
Driving down the street, and I hear Tom Romano, and it's just – it's. Anyways, what else is coming up here on The Travel Guys? Our next program is on Mother's Day, and – the theme for that is going to be how you can save on summer travel. I have got some really – let me give you just a clue here.
Titillate me.
This is how to save a day's rental car. Mark has invented this in the last couple, three trips. You fly into a city and you stay at an airport hotel. Okay?
Good.
You let the airport hotel shuttle. You don't pick up the rental car until the next morning. Then you let the rental car, the airport shuttle, take you back to the airport, or you can give the guy a couple bucks. He'll probably take you to the rental car place. And then you get your car, and instead of the clock starting ticking the night before, now the clock starts ticking the next day. This is particularly important if you're traveling on a Thursday because or a Wednesday because weekend rates start at noon on Thursday. You want to take a car out afternoon on Thursday. It's going to save you a tremendous amount of money. Whether you'll get weekend rates in the afternoon, whereas you'll get morning rates on Thursday morning.
Weekend rates being lower,
being about half.
Wow.
Or maybe about a third in some cases.
I think most people would figure it were the other way around. More demand for rental cars on the weekends. Not necessarily true because of business uses.
That's exact. But it also depends on the destination. If you go to Phoenix in March on a weekend, you're not going to get any kind of a break at all. But if you go to Phoenix on a weekend in July, then you're going to get a phenomenal rental car. So we'll talk maybe about some different ways people can save some money.
So that'll be on the Mother's Day show on the 9th.
On the 9th. And then on the 23rd of May, we are going to go to Oregon and spend an entire program talking about adventure and things to see and do in Oregon, whether it be mild adventure, things you can do sitting down, standing up, riding a bike, climbing a mountain, flying in a hot air balloon. But we're going to concentrate on our friends in Oregon. Since times are a little tight now and people are staying a little closer to home, we're going to give you some ideas on things that you can do this summer. So first, ways to save money, and then ways places that you can go close to home.
Super. And then coming up in the near future, we're going to begin the promotion of a major Travel Guys giveaway. Mark?
It starts on our Mother's Day program,
okay,
and we are about to give you the first clue. It's going to be the Travel Guys Mystery Spot Contest.
Okay.
There will be five mystery spots. We will go through them one at a time as people figure them out. If you pick a mystery spot, you will be entered in the grand prize drawing. You'll receive a consolation prize, and the grand prize is your choice of a trip to New York City to see live Broadway shows or a trip to Hawaii to lay on the beach.
So a trip of your choice, one of those two.
One of those two
and,
is a grand
prize. And basically to qualify, you have to guess one of the mystery spots.
That's correct.
Now, how do they enter?
Well, the first mystery is how do they enter? They listen to the program to get the clues.
Yes.
They can go to sportsleisure.com. 2 days before our next program, the next clue will be posted. We'll give clues on the air. We'll give clues. We might even give a clue in the afternoon on the FM station. I hear the guy over there that's doing the.
That's a possibility. That's absolutely. So they want to go ahead and email their answer to you.
If they think they know the answer to the mystery spot, they can email it to go to sportsleisure.com and click on the radio spot there, and they can send us a message. If you can get it off of this clue, then you're doing quite well. Here's
right.
your first clue
first
for
clue.
The Travel Guys Mystery Spot Contest.
Here it comes.
All right. This is a two-part clue. It's in North America. See, now you can eliminate all the rest of the planet. You're down to North America. There are two of us.
It's in North America, and there are two of us.
The Mystery Spot Contest. You'll get more details next week. You could be going to New York or to Hawaii. Compliments of Sports Leisure Vacation and News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Contest details will be posted at sportsleisure.com.
That's it. And we are going to be back in 2 weeks on Mother's Day. Tom, nice to spend a day Sunday afternoon with you. It is a beautiful day.
Fabulous. See you in 2 weeks right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.